And he had just begun the performance of this fruitive activity, a sacrificial fire, without certainty of its result due to the many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are actually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, Govinda, which you are distributing. Okay. The sacrificial fire kindled by the sages of Nemasanya was certainly full of smoke and doubts because of so many flaws. The first flaw is that there is an acute scarcity of expert brahmanas able to carry out such performances successfully in this age of Kali. Any discrepancy in such sacrifice spoils the whole show, and the result is uncertain. Like agricultural enterprises, the good result of tilling the paddy field depends on providential rain, and therefore the result is uncertain. Similarly, performance of any kind of sacrifice in this age of Kali is also uncertain. Unscrupulous, greedy brahmanas of the age of Kali induce the innocent public to such uncertain sacrificial shows without disclosing the scriptural injunctions that in the age of Kali there is no fruitful sacrifice performance but the sacrifice of the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Sutta Goswami was narrating the transcendental activities of the Lord before the congregation of sages, and they were factually perceiving the result of hearing these transcendental activities. One can feel this practically as one can feel the result of eating food. Spiritual realization acts in that way. The sages of Nemasanya were practically sufferers from the smoke of a sacrificial fire and were doubtful about the result. But by hearing from a realized person like Sutta Goswami, they were fully satisfied. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Vishnu tells Shiva that in the age of Kali, men full of anxieties of various kinds can vainly labor in fruitive activity and philosophical speculations. But when they engage in devotional service, the result is sure and certain, and there is no loss of energy. In other words, nothing performed for spiritual realization or for material benefit can be successful without the devotional service to the Lord. In the purport. Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutare Smati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nei Nevisheshya Sundavani Paschate Satani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Garata Shivasati Gaur Bhakti Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. We have just begun the performance of this fruitive activity, a sacrificial fire, without certainty of its result due to the many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are actually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, Govinda, which you are distributing. Here, the Prabhupada mentions here is historical evidence that the process of Sankirtan Yajna, which is the Yuga Dharma, is actually fruitful. The sages become actually pleased by hearing narrations of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they're admitting we're just the result of this fire. This they set down to do a 1,000-year yajna for the world peace. We have them here sometimes. Yajna for world peace. They have a fire sacrifice. People like that. It's popular. World peace, home. So that's what they were doing in Nemasanya. It's a very auspicious place. And it says that sacrifices, or Nemasanya especially, is a very special place to offset the influence of Kali Yuga, because it's said to be the center of the universe in various the scriptures, that it's like the hub of the universe is Namasanya. So by performing pious activities there, Abhishek can offset the influence of the terrible age of Kali. So they were going to sit down for 1,000 years. That is Kali Yuga. I don't know if these people live long or they, because it's only 100 years in Kali. This is the beginning of Kali Yuga, just after the beginning. Because we're going to hear the story of Parikshit Maharaj. Suta Goswami is speaking, and he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami, who recited to Maharaj Parikshit. And that was the beginning of Kali Yuga. And then, as we just heard, that Kali Yuga really started to take a hold after Sukadeva, after Parikshit Maharaj left. He was such an ideal king that Kali couldn't get a foothold. But as soon as he left, then things gradually degraded. So when they sat down, they selected Suta because he was the oldest, most experienced in all of the scriptures, in all of the Vedas. He was the most enlightened person there, so they offered him the seat. You speak. Tell us all your years of experience and all your study of the Vedas. What is the actual essence? What is the essence of everything? We sat down to do this yoga, but we're not really certain what the result is going to be. Although they've committed themselves to doing it for a long, long time, they're hoping for world peace to offset the influence of Kali, but they're not sure. They're not really sure. So they're asking, you know all the scriptures, you studied all the Vedas very nicely, you're the most learned here. Please, you tell us, what is the essence? What is the Siddhanta of all of it? And then he would tell them that those narration of topics concerning the Lord and his devotees, this is the best yajna. This is the best panacea for all the evils of the age of Kali. Because it brings, this will actually purify the heart. But because the desire to hear about these pastimes is so nice, the desire to hear them will actually not only will purify the heart, but it will also replace those what's the word, errant desires. Those desires which are keeping us bound in this material world, desires for fruitive activity or fruitive results, keeping us bound here, they will replace those desires also. Otherwise, the other processes were for purification. And this, the yogis, that was from Treta Yuga. But he said in Satya, whatever was attained in Satya Yuga by the performance of meditation, whatever was gained in Treta by the performance of big sacrifice, and wherever was obtained in Dwapara Yuga by the performance of deity worship, the same result can be attained in Kali Yuga by the performance of this congregational chanting, Nam Sankirtan. So they weren't sure, but they actually liked to hear this. They're actually becoming pleased when we are pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead Govinda, which we are distributing. So that actually made them happy and enlivened. Whereas before they were doing it with work, but they weren't really sure what the result was going to be. Because this one actually has information of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual world, then it's going to be very troublesome. Your path will be very troublesome. It will be very difficult to give up the material variegatedness. It will be very difficult. Prabhupada said it was actually not possible in some little few purports ago. Prabhupada said this one actually has a good understanding of the spiritual energy as opposed to the material energy, what the difference is. If actually you won't be able to give up. Because it's just, how can you give it up on a promise, a post-dated check? You're giving up happiness that we're getting from relationships in this world, from variegation. We're finding happiness, variety, right? It's actually the source of pleasure. The exchange is the source, but variety will keep it fresh. Otherwise we'll get bored with the same thing. So there has to be variety. And that's why even the impersonalist liberation, it's considered boring for the devotees. If one has actually understood the spiritual activity, then who would want to go to a place where there's nothing happening, where you're just feeling, just existence, you know? Like deep sleep, peaceful, more or less. So who would actually want to go to a place like that? So, but when we hear the pastimes of the Lord and the atmosphere there, the Vaikuntha atmosphere, then it's something positive. It's something to look forward to. Right? So in our process, the process of devotional service, Krishna says it's joyfully performed. I should joyfully perform this because it's actually activity, your variegated activities that you're performing. And it's a very natural process. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these are natural propensities of the living entities, moving living entities. You've got to do them, you have to do them anyway. So this way, you're doing what comes naturally, but you're dovetailing it for the pleasure of the Lord, instead of your own pleasure, that is the essence. Then it becomes spiritual. And we do it for ourselves, it's material. This is practically the difference between matter and spirit, material and spiritual. Otherwise everything's the same. It's just how you use it, or how you use it. It's a consciousness which designates whether something is matter or spirit. Because ultimately everything is spirit. In Krishna's angle of vision, it can act anyway. According to his desire, it's the same thing. It's one energy acting in different ways. When it acts materially, that means it shows a temporary nature, then it's called material. But it's the same energy, it's acting in different ways according to the desire of Krishna. So according to one's consciousness, if we see it the same thing, then it also becomes spiritual, even though it's temporary for us. So we're using it, we're seeing it in connection with Krishna. It's Krishna's energy, it's Krishna's temporary energy, but we're seeing it in that perspective, and we're using it favorably, how it's supposed to be used, and then that's spiritual. It's not karma. So what else is it? There's no reaction for that. It's proper utility. Especially if we're doing it for Krishna's pleasure. If we're doing it for our pleasure, then there'll be some material result is there. It's karma yoga. But when we're actually doing it for Krishna's pleasure, then that is actually spiritual life, because there'll be no result, because we're doing it for Krishna. He gets a result. The result doesn't come to us. So that is the secret of work. So therefore, we don't have to change. So the process is actually nice, if we have a nice way to live, that is. Of course, you can't guarantee that in the material world. But in the other processes, then it's actually troublesome. Because there's no real... The goal actually is to become free from suffering. Isn't it? That's the goal of the... Which is taught, the Varnashram system, mukti. And that liberation, of course, it's actually a Vaikuntha liberation. It's meant to be a personal liberation, but also the impersonal liberation is very attractive. Otherwise, why is everyone going for that? Because there's suffering here. So you want that relief from suffering. And also we're projecting on the spiritual world that if there's duality there, that means it's going to be suffering also. Because there's no information of the spiritual world. There's no information of spiritual duality, spiritual color, spiritual sounds, spiritual taste, and spiritual relationships. That information is not there. Where do you find it? Outside of the Bhagavatam, practically. Where do you find it? Descriptions of the spiritual activity and spiritual world. Huh? There's not much description there because that's not what people want. They want to enjoy in this lifetime. People are so dull in Kali Yuga. Then the scripture, they have to be written down. Huh? The Vedas have to be written form so we can appreciate them more, because we can't remember. And then again, they're mainly dealing with the karma, artha, the dhamma, artha, karma, and moksha. And mainly the first three. Because nobody wants to, we come here to enjoy. What's the use of coming here if the goal is liberation? So they put that off till when we get old, we'll think about that, we'll talk about that. We know, we understand this religious moksha. But we wait till we get old. Let's enjoy life first. Perform, be religious, we get good result, we can enjoy nicely, eat, sleep, mate, and defend nicely, and then when we get old, then we can come, we can surrender to Krishna. So because people aren't interested, not very far-sighted, Kali Yuga means very short-sighted, so then that's what the, not only Kali Yuga, but that's why the Vedas are mainly dealing with this three modes of nature, how to overcome the three modes of nature and live comfortably, because that's what we want. We want to live comfortably, but the modes of nature won't let us be satisfied, keep us moving all the time, so we can't find any peace, we can't find any shelter. So therefore, that seems a very worthy goal, that liberation. Finally. We close the door on this, all these problems. Finally, there's no more problems. Huh? So it's very attractive, isn't it? But what now? What are you going to do? What are you going to do in a room? You've locked yourself. You've locked them all away. Now, what are you going to do? So that is no information, right? Not even in the personal religions, the more modern religions. There's no information. And therefore there's no inclination. There's no inclination because there's no description of how, what goes on in the spiritual world, what goes beyond behind the closed doors. Yeah, but Bhagavatam is full of those descriptions. So really, these other religious processes, these other dharmic processes, you just want some shelter. You're just looking for shelter, mainly, because it's actually troublesome, this material world. We can't enjoy it for very long. As soon as we get it, it starts to go away. And all day, most of the time, we're just defending, trying to keep the problems away, preparing. We know they're going to come, so therefore, because they come yesterday and they came the day before and it's in the history books. So we know what we have to do to keep them away, and you have to work like an ass to keep them away. So you work all day to keep them away, to keep Maya away. It's not Maya, it's just another side of aspect of Maya. that's just maintaining. So that's Maya, it's got you on the run. Huh? Adiatmic, Adidevic, Adibultic, she's got you on the run. And you have no time to think. Get back, keep busy.
Her business is to keep our minds preoccupied so we can't remember Krishna. She's expert.
But that's mostly how we spend our life, if you think about it, from morning till night. Simply working for that, for a little security. So you can, but the goal is to actually enjoy. So if that's actually your goal, is to become, to get escape from that, to become free from that, then actually you won't like the process, because it means work. Right? If you didn't get paid at the end of the month, then you wouldn't work. Because of that desire for that freedom, then we're accepting a religious path to become free. But because what we actually want is to become free, then we actually don't like to do it. Because it's just a means. It's a means to achieve something. But why should we like to do it? As soon as we get the result, we give it up. Why do we give it up? We don't need it anymore. So actually, we don't like to do it. If you didn't have to do it, you wouldn't do it. Because you have to do it. That's the price to pay. You have to work, otherwise you won't get your check. But you don't like to work. Really. Because everyone else is doing it, you think it's okay, it's not so bad. Why are you so negative? You know, everyone's doing it. Of course they are. Everyone's an ass. Everyone's an ass. Throughout history, the material world means ass. Donkey. Right? If you take birth, it means an ass. You're missing out on the actual, missing the Vaikuntha atmosphere. Trying to make ends scratch around here and trying to make ends meet. So, really, there's not much to look forward to. When you reach a goal, whatever process you take, when you reach a goal, you step out of the material world and you lock the door. But now what? There's no information. So there's nothing to look forward to. Because we know if we go in a room and lock the door, we'd be bored stiff after a little while. After a little while, right? How long are you going to sit there for? What are you going to do? And you did exactly the same thing. You absorb yourself in the TV because you'd be bored or something like that. Because there's no description of activities. Whereas in the process of devotional service, we have such a full description of God and His most beautiful feature, and how He deals with the devotees, and how the devotees deal with Him, and how the devotees are dealing with each other. So that's much better. Then you become actually certain of the result, and it's positive. Then you're one of it. But others, they're not certain of the result because they don't know what's there. It's still unknown. The future is unknown. They go, okay, you get relief. You go to you get your liberation. You get to the heaven. But what do you do there? There's no description. So it's still unknown. So why? But especially the mukti, a cable of mukti, especially that, then why do you want to go there? Actually, when you think about it, it's much better than subtle. But they don't think, what are you going to do when you get there? How will it be like when you get there? Nobody thinks about that. Because they're just thinking of, get out of this fix, get out of this problem. But what do you do when you're there? So the process is not, the process you wouldn't do if you didn't have to do it. You're only doing it because you have to do it. You don't like to do it. But this process is nice because we know it's connected to Krishna. The actual process is not different from Krishna. Right? We're hearing about Krishna. We're speaking about Krishna. We're engaging in service to Krishna to propagate Krishna's name, fame, and glories, to propagate the Sankirtan of Krishna. So whatever service we do, we're part of the team. We're part of the movement to propagate Krishna's service. So that's Sankirtan. So whatever you're doing is Sankirtan, if the consciousness is right. So therefore, you're happy doing the service.
You become happy in that service. Yeah, initially you get happiness from the... Prabhupada said, first 6 months is bliss when you join, because you don't have any of those, all your problems are gone, and everything's new. Later you get your happiness, you get your happiness from the service. At first it's work, because we don't understand what devotional service is. But after we hear and hear about what devotional service is, even theoretically, even before realization, there you appreciate what you've got, even before there's actual realization. I'm directly in contact with Krishna. I can't perceive it, but he can perceive it, and Guru can perceive it. And later on, I will be able to perceive it also, that this is directly in contact with Krishna. So then you become a little enlivened. Become a little happy doing that. And then later on, Prabhupada said the happiness comes from directly from Krishna consciousness, from within the heart itself. And you have something to look forward to. That we're happy now because we're engaged, we're connecting Krishna now, and in the future, what is the result? What do people want here? Everyone here wants nice, loving relationships, nice situation, isn't it? That's what's waiting for us there. That Krishna is there. He's a supreme person, most wonderful person. He's waiting there with great anticipation. He's waiting for us with love in his heart, full love for us. He's waiting for us, waiting to share that love. Waiting. We left him, remember? But he's not only Krishna, everyone there. So that's what's waiting for you. That's what you want, looking for here, right? These loving relationships. Krishna's waiting for you to come back so he can give you the real thing. So he has to contain that because we're not there. But the whole atmosphere is permeated with this same atmosphere. And there everyone will love each other so much, all that affection and love you'll get, because everyone is serving Krishna there. That's why they love each other so much, because Krishna is the center of their lives. And they simply assist each other in how can we serve Krishna? How can we bring Krishna pleasure? That's the whole business. So when you go there, it's a festival. It's actually a festival in everywhere. It's a festival. It's not dry. It's really something. If we walk into Vrindavan, then we'll see there's a festival going on. Everyone's busy. The atmosphere is vibrant, it's thick, you know, it's really ecstatic. The birds, you know, if we read, they're there, they're all chanting Krishna's name, and the bumblebees are humming Krishna's glories. Like an orchestra is going on, it's fantastic. But those sounds we never heard before, such a melody, such orchestra we never heard before. What is this place? And look at the colors there, they've never seen those colors. Some of those colors you've never seen before, and you never heard those sounds like that before. Everyone's glorifying Krishna. And they're all active, they're all moving around, they're rushing around, and what are they doing? No, it's the festival, what's happening? Oh, Krishna's going to come home. Krishna's out in the forest, he'll come home soon. The festival is going on there. And then in the forest, another festival is going on, because Krishna's there with his friends and the cows and the forest animals and the gopis. They take turns during the day to see him. It's a big festival going on. So all the time, wherever you are, it's exciting. So that's what you actually have to look. We got that waiting for us. So devotee, Prabhupada mentions that you can. These sages, because they were many many self-realized souls there, so immediately they were feeling ecstasy. Prabhupada says the sutta was narrating the transcendental activities of the Lord, and they were actually perceiving the results of hearing these transcendental activities. Yeah? They're actually feeling it because they're self-realized. That they actually the name, fame, call it part. These descriptions are not different from Krishna. So on the self-realized platform, you're actually feeling those. And now we're hearing them because we may not be on that platform. We're hearing them, but we relish them because they're very nice. we swing Jai Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. That's it. When you go, that's for real. Govardhan is there, vibrant, the animals, the birds, and Jamuna's there, flowing, and the beautiful green trees, Mother Yasoda, all that. But that, then it's then you see it, it's reality. So the sages also, they're experiencing something of this. According to your realization, that much you will appreciate more. And now we may appreciate the nice stories or the nice descriptions, but we don't feel it. But when you're there, you have to see it and feel it, because so the senses become interchangeable in the spiritual world. So you actually feel it. So that's a platform, and that's bhava bhakti, right? What we call bhava bhakti, emotion is there. You actually have a feeling for it. So that's what you actually get. Not only you hear about it, you actually see it and you actually feel it, because you're there. When you go there, you actually part of it. It's the whole thing is living, and you're part of it. It's very dynamic. So that's something to look forward to. And they're saying we're doing this fire. It wasn't very steady. The only result we're getting was black from the smoke. But we have to do it because we don't really know what else to do. This is what we know to do. You tell us what is actually the best thing to do. But we really, when you speak about Krishna, we really get off on that. That's something we really appreciate that. And they're self-realized souls. There are many of them. So they're supposed to be Atmarama. Right? But they're very attracted by the pastimes of Krishna. The Prabhupada says you can they were happy because he says one can feel this practically just as one can feel the results of eating food. That is the way spiritual realization acts. So it's a very subtle thing, it's a very fine thing that one becomes just satisfied within, but you can't kind of put your finger on what it is. What is that satisfaction? You can't describe to somebody, because you can only describe the form. You know, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're performing devotional service to Krishna, we're seeing the deity of Krishna. But you can't describe the feelings to somebody. And but it has to be done. It has to be done to be perceived. So the knowledge has to be there, information has to be there. What it is, you're actually perceiving, and you actually have to do it, go and perceive it. And then it acts. Then it acts in a dynamic way. And then it's actually very nice. It's very nice to hear. Just like here, when we hear these stories, we're very satisfied. We're feeling very satisfied. We're not thinking of anything else. We're not thinking of material enjoyment now, unless it's 9 o'clock. Prabhupada said, actually at that time, at least while the class is going on, you're liberated. at least you're in the class. You're not thinking of any material. We're not thinking of making programs if we come here to actually hear the Bhagavatam. We're not thinking of other things. So we feel actually very nice, isn't it? You actually feel very good. As soon as you step outside, it may be a different thing. But during that time, because Maya is there and Krishna's there every moment. And as soon as you... While you're absorbed in it, you're actually in a very happy condition, trouble-free condition. As soon as you focus on Maya, you completely forget. You go in another world. And then if you start to think about it, you'll say, what was it? You know, because that the feeling is not there anymore. Huh? So you'll know everything. I know I do. I know I'm not the body. I've heard about, so I've heard this. They say that, right? People are blue. Get absorbed in Maya, and the feeling completely goes. I've done it, and they forget all about. I mean, they obviously remember sometimes the blissful situation, but while they're in that, while you're focused on Maya, then that's your world, and you can't perceive the spiritual world. You cannot. But they've done it. I've done it. I've read it. I practiced so many years like that. But now they're in a different world, so they're not feeling anything at that particular time. Because they've actually stopped the practice. But it's our factual experience. Prabhupada mentions it, that while we're actually doing it, we're actually very a nice condition, a nice state of mind, no anxiety, isn't it? So this is the way spiritual realization is perceived. You actually You can perceive, you're getting a result that you came for. You have to become peaceful, you have to become happy. and the troubles have gone. And then we get in, of course that's a beginning. So we may come like anyone else, practice any other dharma, any other path they take, mainly because of to become free from the problems. But then we actually get an attraction for that's the beauty of devotional service. We get attraction for the personality of Godhead, for the personality of the spiritual world. We're very attracted. It's very positive that we got something wonderful to go to, a wonderful place to go to. Who else can say that? Apart from the devotees, who else can say that? Where are they going to go? What happens there? Even personless religion. I was talking to one Christian, and she said, "I don't think you have to know God. You can love God without having a relationship with Him." Can they? I said, "Well, what are you going to do when you go there? You know, he's there. You're in heaven. He's there, and you're." In other words, but what are you going to do there? You're going to do exactly what you do here, only without any, right? You're going to have your dog and your mum and your dad and your garden and your flowers and your nice sacred life. What else are you going to do? No, because there's no description. So you're just going to conject what you think is nice here. It means what we have now without problems. There's nothing like that. It's nothing like that. It's much greater than this. This is just a shallow imitation of the real thing. The place is permeated with ananda. Here's it. But how do they know? No information. So that's what they want. They're happy with their relations and going on like that. And they go for walks. And what are they going to do? Doesn't matter. You know, God is there. It's not necessary to. But look what they're missing. Look what you're missing. If God's not in the picture. But see what the real thing is. Everyone's ecstatic, running around, doing the same thing. Doing it for Krishna. And they become ecstatic. Otherwise, it should be quite boring, you know, I think. the idea of heaven would probably be boring. You'd have to think of different things to do up there. If you think about it, what would you do there? You have to start racking your brain how to make different activities. That's just the nature of the living entity. Variety is necessary. So therefore you see in Vrindavan it's always increasing. It's always static. Ananda Bodhi Vardhanam. It's ever increasing bliss. Where is there a description like that? So that's what we have to look forward to. The devotee has to look forward to. So naturally, then your life becomes this, and you've got the process to do it, and the process now is serving Krishna. So we're happy doing that. It's nice to do that. And we don't stop there. We never stop there. Whereas all the others, as soon as they achieve the goal, they give that up. So they didn't actually like to do it. It was just a work. Just work for them. But here, the devotional service is not work. Because there's no work. The Prabhupada, just a little bit. No work. But that's on the that's from the realized platform. But even on before the stage of realization, just even philosophical understanding, we become satisfied and peaceful. How are you going to improve on this understanding? There's no higher understanding anywhere in any scripture. So we got the best thing. Be satisfied. You got the best thing. There's no need to look anywhere else. At least that side is peaceful. Now you know you've got to get absorbed in that service, then we can appreciate it more and more and more and more. Huh? And the more we appreciate, the more we can say no to Maya. And the more we say no to Maya, the more Krishna becomes apparent. And the more Krishna becomes apparent, the more difficult tests we can say no to Maya. Till all those desires, they become purified. We're not interested anymore. That when you actually achieve the relationship with Krishna. But from the very beginning, that process is starting now. It's a gradual transformation. But it's actually, we have experience that it's working. Prabhupada has given this example. Sages, that they're actually they're satisfied. They don't know what they're doing this thing, but they're doubtful what's going to happen, whether it's going to actually work out. We're just getting black as a result of our activity. We're just getting black from the smoke. And they're doubtful, but in Krishna consciousness, no doubt. As Krishna promises, my devotee is never vanquished. My devotee comes to me. I carry what they lack. I protect, preserve what they have. I will bring you back. Don't fear. So we have. There's no doubt there. And then the evidence, these self-realized souls, this is what's waking us up. This is what's enlightening us, these discussions of Krishna. Past tense. Please discuss more. Tell us everything about him. The avatars, tell us more. It's a factual history here. This is what the great sages are talking about. The greatest thinkers of the world, the greatest personalities on the planet at that time, this is what they're saying. Tell us more. This is what we actually want to hear. This is actually satisfying. Nothing else is satisfying. So only that. And so they said in the beginning, only when that is uninterrupted and what is it?
Unmotivated.
Then that will completely satisfy you. So if you get rid of these other extra motivations that we have, self-motivations, then we can be more satisfied. Yeah? Then they're completely satisfied. But until that time, you know, there was... Yeah? Here now they're experiencing, yeah, he's right. What he's saying is right. Tell us more about Krishna's pastimes. So that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is. They're simply narrations about the name, fame, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia, and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And hearing them in association with devotees is the foremost means, Shravanam Kirtanam, and specifically the congregational chanting now of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the essence of the Bhagavatam, because that's please engage me in the service of Krishna. So everything is there. You've reached the 10th kanta there. Now you're praying the service to Krishna through the shakyas, through the dasas. That's Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Comments? Questions? Please.
To collaborate what we were talking about, I have a relative who's passed away. She's a Christian, and her favorite activities here when she wasn't working was to have a beer or two in the bowl. So her anxiety, of course, she wanted to go to heaven, and when she got there, she was hoping that they would be able to drink a beer or two in the bowl.
She said that.
Yeah, she said it. That was her intention. Otherwise, it'll be boring.
Right.
Depending on what you said.
And what else are you going to do? You're just going to do what you like to do here. You think that it's going to be done up there without any perfections. It means we won't have to pay money and we won't have to get tired. The beer will be free and we won't get tired when we pay for it. <bills. laughs> What else is it? It's boring. Maybe bored stiff. Therefore, bring in the beer. Bring out the balls. And the dartboard and the bridge. Can you imagine? It could be a young kid up there. There's no conception of that. They think this body's the best because there's one at the moment, so. Yeah. They want to change their body. They want that body without any sickness or. They don't want to change their body for nothing. You're bound to do that for the material because there's no description in there of what happens there. Therefore, upadama, sub-religious principles. Yes.
Sometimes we don't have so much knowledge about what's going on in the spiritual world either. I just came from Vrindavan, and I was from Maharaj, I was speaking in class, and I was calling for a classic revolution in Asia.
Ras Lila Evapur.
Rasika Revolution.
A Rasika Revolution.
That we should absorb ourselves more into the reading, basically, of Indra Lila Vedana and the books. Because we have to develop knowledge about this.
They're there, they're coming out.
What?
They're coming out on the printing press, they're flying off. Anything you want, man. Yeah. What's the use? Well, what's the use? What would be the result? If it helps develop your attachment for Krishna, then it's great. But you see, sometimes these pastimes, you start to become attached to your own sex life. Therefore, first nine cantos, become self-realized. How do you understand? How will a seven-year-old kid understand about amorous pastimes? They won't understand about it. You can talk about the amorous dealings, sex life, but they won't understand until they come to prove it. They won't know what you're talking about. So like that, you read them now, but there's no idea of what's actually going on. Because you're not a puberty. To become self-realized, become to puberty, then you can appreciate. Otherwise you're gonna get agitated. You've become sexually agitated reading about Krishna's sexual pastimes. Because that's all we know. You're going to interpret your experience on that. That's all. Just like you're going to interpret the bowls and the beer in heaven. You're bound to. Pleasure is what you want.
But Prabhupada said that Krishna proposed by reading, you get free from pastimes.
You will, yeah. But he didn't publish Govindalalamrita, he published 10th. Now we come more advanced also, since Prabhupada's times are so kind. That time he was all young. Then you couldn't read it. You could become a guru after 10 years. You could go out and open a temple, make hundreds of devotees after 2 years. That's what you could do. Can you imagine? 10 years you become a guru after 10 years in ISKCON. No one was 10 years old when Prabhupada left the planet. The oldest person was 10 years, they became gurus. That's wonderful. More wonderful if they maintained it. Although they may not be completely qualified, but they did the job. There may have been some fall down. Probably he was taking a risk, but some didn't. You see. So that they were. In other words, that was the mercy of the devotee was actually qualifying them. And therefore they could do it. They go out and open a temple after 1 year in the temple. Take a Madanga, two of you take a Madanga cartels and go to that city and start a temple. A couple of years old, a couple of years in the movement, 1 year in the movement. That was in power. But he never says, sit down and read Govindalalamrita. It was much against that. Because he said, if you do these things, all these sahaja tendencies will creep in. And what do you see? These people who read those books, most of them, what practical service do they do? Leave it Radhakund and wear saris. What do they do? They do. Someone's saying, someone spoke from here. They're in Vrindavan. It's gone, devotees. We're in saris, men. Can you believe it? But Prabhupada knew these things had happened. But it's fashion. And these other great mahantas and great self-realized souls and Mahabhagavats also preaching the same thing. Come on up. You're rasika doctors. You're doing Govardhan Prakram with no shoes on. You're rasika. Come on.
I am? Finally, someone's seen. But what a result. You see those people, what happens to them? What they're actually doing for the Sankirtan movement? Simply creating disturbance. Most of them. Simply creating disturbance. I probably said that. You maybe make a disturbance. It's unnecessary. Unnecessary disturbance. There are so many monkeys in Radha Kund. Why do you want to go there? And nobody says it. In our history, nobody stays there who goes there. They give up everything, they give up their, take on the Babaji Vash. They don't stay there. Rare. Let's see, test of time, who stays there? You get, maybe, there was an exception. It's there, the pastimes are there, they're written by the... but they're not for open discussion, and because they're realized matters, they're realized topics. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't do it. Only with a couple of devotees. So he's... What caliber of devotees were the others also, who he didn't speak to? They're sitters, also. He didn't speak in front of them. Prabhupada certainly didn't. If you want, and Bhaktisiddhanta also. But exactly that same thing was why all these sahaja things came up. Exactly because of that. And they begin to imitate. Exactly for that reason. Therefore Bhaktisiddhanta was criticized, attacked. Because he dared to criticize him. Why you're not following, what are you, a jnani, they said? You're not following Rupa Goswami? So I'm following Rupa Goswami. You're imitating Rupa Goswami. Vrindavan is a consciousness, it's not a, you change the dress. Nothing to do with that. If someone changes their dress, if a man puts on a sari, that means they're off the wall. It's nothing to do with your body. Why a sari? Why nothing? Why not? Sukadev wore nothing. Why not walk around with nothing? If you're off the bodily platform, then why do you put a sari on? It's nothing to do with the body. These things, this consciousness. How's that going to help? That means they're in bodily consciousness. If they need the sari to identify as a gopi, then it means they're in bodily consciousness. Just making a disturbance. And some people believe it. Go for it. So they get some cheap followers, or what's it, for a little while. But there's no, because they won't get any taste, they won't get taste. And if you strictly follow the mood of the guru, then you won't advance in consciousness. So either you've got to remain a bluffer and have a small following, otherwise they go back to what they were doing before. And we've seen. Took sannyas, took Babaji, went to Radha Kund, went to Navadvip, now he went back to university, drinking beer and eating meat. He knows philosophy upside down. Thing, history. No, no more boring Bhagavad Gita classes. Only Chaitanya Chaitamrita. Put a notice up here. Then you ask a question. I'm only asking questions about Radha Krishna. Okay, it's a change of heart. It's not a change of. It's not how much you know or what you wear. It's a change of heart. Because that wasn't there, he reached the top. Externally, he reached the top. He was hobnobbing with all the big Babaji's there. Radha Kund. Because his heart wasn't pure, then he's back to eating meat and eating restaurants. And become a teacher, as teaching philosophy, Sanskrit or philosophy. How can great Rasika Bhakti, that's teaching something dry like grammar or Sanskrit to come? It just creates a disturbance. Let them ask their gurus and let him decide. If you actually want to do something like that, let them go to. That's a process. May I read this? Or may I discuss this? Then, if he gives them permission, then that's another thing. Therefore, those really esoteric literatures, therefore, the ones are already purified. The nine cantos, Prabhupada, are there for purification. They'll purify your heart. They'll give you self-realization. Then you can appreciate the tenth canto. After a careful study of the nine cantos, you'll surely become self-realized. Something new. They want something different. You got to be different, say, otherwise if you do the same thing, you won't be recognized. There's something different. Same old disease. Same old disease. I'm special. I'm different. I'm the center. Same thing. That's why you came in the material world. Recognition. Why do they do it why don't they go to a cave and do it? Put on a sari. They wouldn't do that. No one to see them. Our other brother should be speaking up here from Vrindavan. He's into that. But he's living right in the middle of it, so here we're a little saved from those, all these other mixtures. A little sanity in my form. Finish on a more normal note. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai.